This is Ready Radio, preparing you to be ready for anything. Now, here's your survival guide for Ready Radio, John Rush.
All right, Ready Radio, KLZ 560. It is September the 13th, Friday the 13th, to be exact. So if you're listening to a replay and it happens to be this day, you know what day it is. Beautiful day here in Colorado, by the way. All right, one of the things that I was going to talk about today, I got several things, but one thing, and this suggestion, I think actually Jim from Byers had suggested this a while back, talk about gun safe, something that honestly, I don't know that on any show, this one especially, I've ever covered. And I think there's a lot of, how should I say this? Gun safes are like cars. Some people have particular types, brands, etc., that they really like for obvious reasons. Will most of them do what you want? Yeah. I mean, as far as a gun safe to keep things away from children, they'll all do that. As long as it's got a lock on it, you know, you're good. But typically, people are looking for more than that in a gun safe. So I want to get into a few things today in regards to that, because not everybody keeps just guns in a gun safe. In fact, a lot of people will keep all sorts of other, you know, personal documents, estate planning things, deeds, titles to cars, jewelry, coins, cash, all sorts of things. I mean, really anything that is a valuable possession to you that you don't want in somebody else's hand, and maybe you don't want to necessarily have a, you know, safety deposit box and have to run to the, you know, bank every time you want to do something along those lines, title for your car, for example, and so on. So in turn, you use a safe. Now, I realize that, and this is what I'm going to get into today, there's certain things that have to happen to have a gun safe in the first place, and we'll talk about some of those things. But I do think I'm one where the day and age that we live in, period, just the security factor, whether you have kids or not, I'm one where, yes, I think you should have a gun safe, a locking room, closet, vault, whatever. A lot of people now are building new homes even where, as the basement is built, custom homes especially, they can put in concrete walls, they put a safe door in and actually have an entire room. Instead of just having a safe itself, you've got an entire room that's all secure, and there's a safe door to get in and out of that room. Sort of a safe room, if you would. And some of them get pretty fancy. I mean, I've seen some of these to where they're literally a man cave, you know, completely separate from the rest of the house, and you could live in the thing if you had to. Now, you do you. I'm not telling anybody what to do, and I'm not going to mention any particular, you know, brands of safes. There's a lot of great safes that are on the market. There was some conversation on the safe end of things, the gun safe end of things, about a year ago or so, to where there was a particular situation to where the FBI was able to get the combination to a safe. I'll talk a little bit about that as well and how you can avoid that also. But I think number one thing people have to look at is, and this is one of those things too, to where, like a car, you don't have to go big. You know that old saying, go big, go home? No, you can start small. They make safes in every different type of configuration you can imagine. All the way down to just individual safes for an individual gun. Let's say that you've got a nightstand, and instead of keeping the gun in the nightstand because you've got kids, you want to have a safe that you bolt to the bottom of the nightstand, and there's a fingerprint code to unlock it. All sorts of things along those lines. And yes, I think safe gun storage is very important, not just because of the safety of kids. And the reason why I say not just for the safety of kids is, you know, I grew up in an era, and I realize times are different now, but I grew up in a time where nobody had a gun safe. Very few people even knew what they were. It wasn't a big issue. You might have had a gun cabinet. Some homes actually had a cabinet with glass fronts, and the guns were actually on display. It was a display cabinet. And did kids mess with them? Very seldom. I mean, that was a time where kids owned their own weapons. A lot of kids would go hunting and do things after school. I mean, I'm talking kids 13, 14, 15 years of age. It was not a big deal to just drag the gun to school and then go hunting afterwards. Happened a lot back in those days. Wasn't uncommon to be at a lot of high school parking lots in certain parts of the country, even here in Colorado, and see gun racks in the back window of a pickup truck with an actual gun there. And people would go out, hunt, and do different things after school, or it was just there. So we live in a different time today, though, than then. And do I believe that proper gun storage today is more important than it's ever been? Yes. Not just because of the children's safety end of things. And it's not your own kids that you always have to worry about. It's, you know, you could teach your kids everything about gun safety and they're just fine. But what about the neighbor kids or the friends of the kids and so on? That those are some of the things that you have to be careful of. So at the end of the day, first things first, what do you need? How many guns do you have? How many guns do you plan on acquiring? And I don't know what the statistics are in the United States right now, and I don't know how they would even know this because, you know, nobody's ever asked me how many I own. Nobody's business, by the way. But I'm guessing that there are some that own none and some that own a lot. Some could fill up an entire safe. I've seen entire, like I've told you, I've seen entire gun safe rooms completely stocked with every type of weapon you can imagine, almost like going into a sporting goods store. And I've seen everything in between, from smaller, you know, 13 gun safes all the way up to 30, 40, 50, 60 gun safes. And again, a lot of this comes down to your needs, your budget, and what you're looking for in the end. What are you trying to resolve when it's all said and done? Now, we talked, really got started on this topic talking about the fire aspect of things and how fireproof is that particular safe. Now, this is where things get a little dicey, so I'll talk about this for just one moment, because no, all safes are not created equal. Just because you have a safe doesn't mean it's going to be fireproof. Now, they may claim it is, but it may not be. And it may be temporarily, but it may not be, how should I say this? They'll have a fire rating. It could be anywhere from 30 minutes to 6 hours. And it'll even get down to the temperature around the safe as to, you know, how long will it withstand those particular temperatures, for how long before there's any damage done inside and so on. So study those things. Like anything else, in this case, yes, you do get what you pay for. Now, some safes are a work of art. Literally, you could put them in the living room. They're so ornate that literally they become a piece of furniture, and you could literally put it anywhere inside your home. Some of them are that nice. Others, you can just get in a, you know, kind of a flat paint, flat steel, if you would, because you're not really worried about showing it off. I'm kind of one of those to where I think the days of actually showing off the safe are kind of gone, and I would not buy anything ornate. I would just buy a plain, you know, matte finish safe, put it someplace that is hidden where nobody sees it anyways, and since nobody's seeing it, who cares what it looks like? As long as it's, you know, handling the function of what you need, you know, fitting the need of what you have going on. So a few things to think about. Number one, where are you going to locate it? Number one, how big do you need? Number two, where is it located? So what I mean by that is it going in the basement? Are you going to go up and down stairs with it? Do you have enough room, overhead, width, etc., to do these things? Some safes can get moved, and sometimes they're more easy to move if the door is removed. That's a whole process that safe manufacturers can inform you of. A lot of safe dealers will, for a fee, deliver it pretty much wherever you want. Some don't. Some just ship it to you. It comes on a pallet, gets slid off of a truck with a, you know, drop gate, and it's up to you from that point in time as to where it goes. And they're heavy. If you get a really good safe, they're heavy. A standard decent safe, say a 30 wide, 24 deep safe, will weigh roughly 600 to 800 pounds. So these are not light things. They're very heavy, and that's unloaded. That's nothing in the safe itself. You fill it up, of course, with weapons, and it, of course, starts weighing even more than that. So, first of all, where is it located? And some of the thoughts on where is it located is it going to be in a more damp environment? If it is, do you need a dehumidifier in the safe? If so, you'll need power nearby, whereby you can run the dehumidifier. If you're in a, you know, wetter place, maybe you've got a basement you're going to store things in, and that area tends to be a little bit more damp, you're most likely going to want to go ahead and put a dehumidifier in it. On the same token, if you're storing in an area that's very dry, especially here in Colorado where we just don't have a lot of humidity, you may not need a dehumidifier. I have had a safe now for years, since I was in my teens and early 20s, I guess. Late teens, early 20s. I actually have a dehumidifier for the safe that I own that I've never used. And I've never once had any issues with any kind of rusting, surface rust, anything along those lines on my weapons. Now, I have always been able to keep things in a nice, cool, dry place, not damp. And every home is going to be a little different. And these also, as you know, can be put home or business. So first things first, where is it located? And something to consider on that as well is if it's going to go in, say, your garage, your man cave garage, do you want to bolt it to the floor? In other words, if it's in the garage and somebody with a decent size lift gate, tow truck, whatever, can just back up and everything in it goes at one time, they don't even have to open the safe at that point. They just back up, load it up, and leave. You might want to bolt it to the floor. And I've seen situations on safes because, you know, they really don't care much about what's happening to the internal contents. If there's a nick, a scratch, or whatever on a gun, they're not stealing it for that. They could really care less about all of those things. I've seen videos where they wrap literally a tow strap around the safe, drag the thing out far enough to where they can throw it then in the back, you know, lay it down, throw it in the back of a truck, and off they go. That's the risk of having it in a garage versus, say, a basement where it has to come upstairs. Or even inside your house where it's got to come out, you know, a door, you know, through an opening, etc. So things to consider. If you're going to put it in the garage, do you have to bolt it to the floor? Now, one thing I would recommend, and again, this is different as to where the safe's going to be positioned, but I like them on a pedestal. And you're saying, what do you mean a pedestal? In other words, off the floor. A, I think it helps for some of that dampness thing we were just talking about a moment ago. B, it helps getting in and out of the safe become a little easier. Because remember, the bottom of the safe is at floor level. If you go right to the floor, it's floor level, meaning every single time you go to do something inside the safe, you're stooping down. So if you can raise that up even 4-6 inches, a 2x6 really is best. Raise it up 5.5-6 inches. It makes getting in and out of the safe much easier. So, again, things to consider when it comes to the location, what you're going to be doing, how you're going to be handling it, and so on. I got more on that. We'll take a break. We'll come back. I got a lot more to talk about. And if you got questions when it comes to safes, by all means, please let me know. I've been a gun safe owner literally since the early 80s. So quite some time. Original safe that I bought, I still own. I bought a nice high-quality safe back in the day, and I still actually own that safe. We'll be right back, though. Ready Radio, anything you want to know about us, it's on the website, ready-radio.com. This is Ready Radio, KLZ 560.
Do you want to improve your health, fitness, and beauty? Are you an athlete recovering from an injury? A weekend warrior who is sore from your last workout? Do you have a chronic medical condition trying to meet a health and wellness goal? Or maybe you are looking for a great doctor who thinks the way you do. Dr. Scott Faulkner and Castle Rock Regenerative Healthcare is your path to a healthier tomorrow. Owner Dr. Scott is a board-certified internal medicine specialist, bringing decades of experience and expertise to the table. Dr. Scott is a true advocate of the latest advancements in healthcare. That's why he uses umbilical-derived stem cells, which have been clinically proven to be the most potent stem cells available. Worried about being lost in the crowd of impersonal healthcare? Fear not. Dr. Scott is a big picture doctor, not beholden to big pharma like some other providers. He takes the time to understand your unique needs and will customize your healthcare to fit you, your body, and your lifestyle. Reach your full potential and achieve your goals. Call Dr. Scott today at 303-663-6990 or visit him online at CastleRockRegenerativeHealth.com or find him at RushToReason.com.
You're driving down the road and out of nowhere comes a bang. A huge rock just hit your windshield and now you have a star in your windshield. Did you know that chip can be fixed? But who is the best? Who has the best resins that keep developing them to work with the newest windshields? That would be Novus Autoglass. Novus, which is the Latin word for innovate, invented windshield repair in 1972, and it still leads the industry in cutting-edge technology, backed by more patents than any other repair and replacement company. While other glass repair services offer limited warranties, or worse, none at all, you can trust the original Novus pros to stand behind their work with a full refund that you can use towards a windshield replacement for the life of your windshield. Find a Novus location near you by going to any of our websites, ready-radio.com, drive-radio.com, or fixitradio.com. Just click on the Novus link. That's Novus Autoglass.
At RoofSavers Colorado, we are about more than roofs. We are about helping you make the best decisions with the right information. Being a homeowner isn't getting any easier or cheaper, and neither is getting your roof the solution it needs. Deductibles are going through the roof, and with every passing year, insurance covers less than the one before. Due to a record amount of hailstorms recently, insurance companies have started limiting your coverage and pulling out of states entirely. We know the industry. With over 3,000 roofs under our belts and 23 years of experience, Dave Hart and his team are ready to complete a free roof inspection and discuss the option that is best for you. Don't wait. Policy renewals are increasing by as much as 50%. Now is the time to get the solution you need. Call RoofSavers Colorado today at 303-710-6916 or go to RoofSaversCO.com. That's 303-710-6916 or go to RoofSaversCO.com to schedule your free inspection and start saving your roof today.
Looking to buy or sell a classic car? Need a reliable valuation you can trust? Look no further than BP Appraisals, LLC. With over 20 years of experience in the appraisal industry, we provide fast, accurate, and professional appraisal services that you can count on. Did you know that an appraisal can also entail the forecasting of monetary earning power? An appraisal is a document with a valuation conclusion. It is not a pre-purchase inspection, a mechanical evaluation, or a recommendation to buy or sell your vehicle. It's the actual value at that moment in time, which many need for things like estate planning, insurance, or investing. At BP Appraisals, we value your property like it's our own. Make informed decisions with confidence. Don't settle for less. Choose the experts at BP Appraisals, LLC, where precision meets professionalism. Visit us today at bpappraisalsllc.com and schedule your appraisals in just minutes. BP Appraisals, LLC. We know what your property is worth. That's bpappraisalsllc.com or call 720-295-0108.
All right, we are back. Ready Radio, KLZ 560. Thanks for tuning in today. Appreciate it very, very much. Okay, we've decided what we need, gun safe-wise, where we're going to locate it. So now we go through the process of what do you buy? And as I started off saying, literally, you will see gun safes from every price range, for the most part, out there. I mean, I'm talking literally hundreds of dollars to tens of thousands of dollars. Not exaggerating. Just depends on what you're trying to do, what you're trying to accomplish. Again, that the fit, the finish, is it a piece of furniture? Are you going to do similar to what I mentioned where you're storing it, you know, out of people's eyesight where they don't even know you have one? It really comes down to you and what you're looking for. And it's a very personal choice. Now, all that being said, I am not a fan of the cheapy, stackable safes even that you see out there. Some of the big chains sell. Those are so easily broken into. They have very little fire rating, if any. I just, you know, unless that's all you could do, I wouldn't. I would spend a little more money or even buy a used safe on the open market, which people would think, well, why would you find used safes? Because people upgrade. There's even safe dealers that will take used safes on trade, just like a car, and sell you an upgraded safe. Most people don't think about that, but it happens all the time. You know, somebody's gun collection grows, and their, you know, 15 firearm safe now isn't big enough. They need a 30 or a 60 or a whatever. And they'll take the old one and trade it in. And given it's like a piece of furniture, like I said earlier, I have a safe that I have owned since, I believe, 1980. I was thinking about this through the break. I believe I got my first safe in 86. So early 20s when I got it. And it still functions today. And I haven't changed a thing on it. There's all sorts of things you can do now with upgraded digital locks and so on, which I'll talk about here through this particular topic as well. But I still have the old dial type, you know, combo safe, and off you go. I know you can do that a lot easier today, and, you know, again, teach his own. But my point is, you take care of them, they'll literally last not only your lifetime, but probably the lifetime of your heirs. They're literally built, and if you buy a good one, they're built in that manner, and they're very heavy. The good ones are. So, again, you have to decide what your budget is. What are you looking for? What are you storing? And then what interior configuration do you need? And this is something where you really need to pay probably a little closer attention than what most will tell you. And this is something I wish I would have known a little more on the front side. Most of them want to sell you shelves on one side, long guns on the other. Which, looking back in time, I really wish that I had done something completely different. Maybe just done one top shelf and all long guns. Because keep in mind, as far as the door itself goes, there's all sorts of apparatuses where you can hang your pistols and other things on the door itself, and you really don't need the shelf space. In fact, most of the time, I've seen a lot of safes, where mine included, where the shelves get set aside because you need that room for other things. So you really need to think through the interior configuration of the safe, and they make a boatload of interior configurations. Every safe manufacturer will give you options on the interior. And again, this is very personal, and what works for one may not work for the other. So don't rely on what your neighbor, your friend, your buddy at work has. You do whatever works best for you and the type of guns that you have. And maximize that space the best you can. One of the biggest complaints that I have on a lot of gun safes is I don't think they necessarily maximize their space the best they can. Well, part of that's because they want to sell you a bigger safe or multiples. Depending upon the gun that you're storing, I have found that you can actually get more. You know, you take a 13-gun safe, for example. Can you get more than 13 in that? Yes. If you really do it correctly, yes, you can. But once again, you need to figure out what fits you and your collection and what you have best, and then figure out what safe you need and what brand you like. And again, I'm not going to get into brand names because there's a bunch. Some good, some bad. I will say that I personally like hidden hinges. It's a personal thing with me. I don't know that necessarily one safe is any stronger than another. In other words, if there's exposed hinges, is it easier to break into than one that has hidden hinges? Maybe. And keep in mind the bolts that are coming out from the sides of the door into the body of the safe. That door is not coming off unless the combination is, you know, somehow they can turn the dial, you know, basically get the combination and turn the dial some way somehow. Otherwise, it's not opening. So that's one of those to where it really comes down to this. Some people like the exposed hinges. They like the ornateness of that and how that looks and so on. It's a personal preference. You know, Browning, for example, they made external door hinge for years and years and years, made a very good safe. Other companies like Fort Knox do hidden hinges. It really just comes down to the style that you like, the price point that you're at, and who you can work with. A lot of gun stores sell gun safes. A lot of just safe dealers sell safes. And you can buy safes over the internet. Just remember, the shipping is going to be, you know, astronomical. So unless there's a deal that that company's got on shipping, it's going to cost you to get it there. Because most safes, again, weigh, you know, an average safe, again, like I said earlier, 500-600 pounds minimum. It can go up from there. Some of them even give you options for thickness of the door. In other words, you can get a thicker door if you'd like. It adds to the fire rating, adds to the security of it as well. And each one of them has some of their own claim to fame. Again, personally, I would look more at the functionality of the safe, the fire rating, you know, that part of it as much as the ornateness. What's the functionality of? I'm not worried about displaying it in my living room. Now, if you are, then that's something to consider. But for a lot of people, that's not a big deal. Now, the digital locks. Let's talk about that for a moment. Most all safes today, with probably but a few exceptions, come with a digital lock. Keypad. Let's just say it that way. So instead of analog with a dial like an old, you know, combo safe would be, they come with a keypad, battery-powered keypad. The battery can be changed without getting into the safe. They've all got that figured out to where if the battery goes dead, you can still change the battery and open the safe up, which would make sense, of course. They all also have the ability to where if you somehow get the dial off, you're still not getting the safe open. You know, you get the keypad off, you're still not getting in. I might be some fancy digital tools out there that some thieves have, that if they can get all that apart and actually connect the wires that actually operate the mechanism inside, they may be able to open it. But these are going to be guys that are very up on safe crackers, if you would. And if that's who you've got that you're up against, you know, all bets are off anyways. Now, the thing about the digital combinations, the touchpad, you know, combinations that we learned is, the factory has that code. The factory has the main code. And they do that so that if you ever forget your code, you can call them, say, I'm so-and-so. I bought my safe at such-and-such time, and I cannot remember my passcode. I can't remember my master passcode. I need to reset this. They will then look up in their files and give you that original master reset code for the lock. And that's what happened in a particular situation where the FBI was trying to get into a particular safe. Now, keep in mind, somebody could pose as you, and as long as they've got the right information, they're not going to know it's you or not you. So you can request that information not be stored. Not all safe companies do that, but a lot do, where they don't store that. And if something happens and you forget the code, you're on your own. You're not getting in. You're going to call a safe cracker to try to get in. So that's one of those to where, you know, am I going to lose any sleep worrying about if the manufacturer of my safe has the code? In my case, it's the old dial type and it doesn't matter. But, you know, if you're going to buy a new one, would that really matter? Frankly, no. I'm not losing any sleep over that. You can, in a lot of cases, I know some of the safe manufacturers, because I looked this up the other day in preparation for this, you can request the old-fashioned dial-style, you know, combo lock, which then there is no master code to. It's whatever you set it to. You tell them to tell them to set the dial to X, and that can be changed by a locksmith, by the way, so you could even get it home and even have it changed, and then nobody would know what that is. If you're really paranoid about having somebody have access to that safe in that manner, I would buy a dial type combination. So just something to think about. And one other thing, too, is the dial types, at least all the ones that I have seen, usually have a key as well. So there's a key to turn the dial. So you have to unlock the dial to even turn it to then get into it. So it's kind of a two-step security process. And I'll tell you that I still think the old dial type are as secure as the new digital keypad ones are. Now, as far as the rest of the safe is concerned, it all comes down to thickness, you know, wall thickness, door thickness, insulation, fire protection, all of that. Now, the other thing I would suggest, after watching some of what we've had with wildfires and things here in Colorado, I would not personally put a safe anywhere other than on a concrete floor. In other words, it'd be in the basement, tucked away in the corner of a garage someplace, and I would try my best to put it in a corner. And the reason I say that is when you look at the fireproofing of things, the fire protection side of it, you're going to get a lot less damage in those corners than you will in the middle of the structure. So you buy a nice ornate safe, you put it in the middle of the living room, and it's square in the middle of the house, and there's a fire, the safe's going to be in the basement or the crawl space or whatever's beneath you. And then everything else that's burning in the house that starts to fall down in the middle falls right on top of the safe, meaning it's under fire for quite some time. Meaning there's probably not a safe out there that would handle that kind of temperature resistance for any length of time at all necessary to make sure things inside are okay. And then you're most likely going to have some water damage. If the fire crews show up and they spray water and things on it, you're still going to get some water damage. This is where I would say placement of the safe matters. Corners being better if you can. Because as a house burns, it falls to the middle, as you all know. Doesn't fall to the outside, falls to the middle. If the safe is on the outer edges of the foundation, the chances of it withstanding the fire are much better. So again, this comes back, This comes back to the placement of the safe and just thinking through in your own home how this is all going to work out. Now, really quick, going back to the interior configuration, be mindful of, you're typically going to store other things in the safe besides just guns. So you do want to make sure that you're allowing for, you know, the ability to store some papers and things. Although I will tell you that this is the one thing that, again, they don't tell you when you're buying a safe. Remember that a file folder can be stuck between the gun stocks of the gun while everything is, you know, lined up. Even if you don't have any shelves, you can take file folders and slide those in between your firearms, just like you would in a file cabinet. So do you really need shelves? In most cases, no, because you could take file folders of important papers and literally slide those between the stocks of the guns on the very bottom anyways. And most of them will have a top shelf. I'm also not a fan, and some are, of storing ammunition in the safe. Some do. I don't. That one's probably one that's up for debate as to where you want to, you know, store your ammunition. Are you going to put it in the safe, put it out of the safe? That's completely up to you. I've kind of always felt like I don't really need to protect ammunition like I do the firearm itself. And unless you've got just a, you know, small handful of firearms and you want to stack all of your ammunition for those inside, you know, great, that may work well for you. Most probably don't have that ability. And my other thought on having ammunition in the safe is if there was any kind of a fire, do I really want those things exploding inside the safe if there was a fire? And of course, the answer is no, I don't. So that's the other reason why I don't store ammunition inside of the safe. So teach his own. You can kind of do that however you feel like you need to. But again, at the end of the day, really just figuring out what is it you need it for? What are you trying to protect? How long are you trying to protect things? What's the fire protection needed? What's your budget? Where are you going to place it? And then when it's all said and done, go buy one. And one other thing I was going to say. When it comes to the pedestals and moving them up off the floor, you can build pedestals yourself. A lot of the gun safe manufacturers will sell you a pedestal. You can build it yourself. Even if you're not a really, you know, high-end sharp carpenter, you can build a base very easily yourself that the safe can sit up on top of. So that's easy. You can even wrap it with some indoor-outdoor carpet or whatever and get it up off the floor. So those are things that you can do very easily on your own. You don't have to have any help doing that. You don't have to buy that from the gun safe manufacturer. That's something you can do easily on your own. All right, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back. We're going to shift gears, and I'm going to talk about situational awareness. And somebody actually sent me a really great video that I watched. I think that was Dan. I appreciate it very much. I'll talk about some of these things as soon as I come back. I think I have enough time to get all these in before the end of the show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Ready Radio, KLZ 560.
You work hard to keep a roof over the heads of you and your loved ones. The last thing you need is to be worrying about the condition of that roof. That's where we come in. At Roof Savers Colorado, we pride ourselves in helping homeowners like you get a new roof without all the worry. Deductibles are skyrocketing, and since it's illegal to waive those fees, the financial burden of upgrading your damaged roof can seem overwhelming. But here at Roof Savers, we offer both financing options and referral fees to offset some of those upfront costs. Already filed a claim with your insurance? We are happy to utilize those insurance proceeds to get your roof the replacement it needs and your home stronger protection from hail. With over 23 years of roofing experience, Dave and his team are ready to help. Call us today at 303-710-6916 or go to roofsaversco.com to set up your free inspection. That's 303-710-6916 or go to roofsaversco.com and stop worrying about your roof today.
You're driving down the road and out of nowhere comes a bang. A huge rock just hit your windshield and now you have a star in your windshield. Did you know that chip can be fixed? But who is the best? Who has the best resins that keep developing them to work with the newest windshields? That would be Novus Autoglass. Novus, which is the Latin word for innovate, invented windshield repair in 1972, and it still leads the industry in cutting-edge technology, backed by more patents than any other repair and replacement company. While other glass repair services offer limited warranties, or worse, none at all, you can trust the original Novus pros to stand behind their work with a full refund that you can use towards a windshield replacement for the life of your windshield. Find a Novus location near you by going to any of our websites, ready-radio.com, drive-radio.com, or fixitradio.com. Just click on the Novus link. That's Novus Autoglass.
Are you a real estate agent looking to elevate your game? Or a for sale by owner and need professional marketing for your home? Look no further than Homati. Step into a world of endless possibilities where success meets innovation. If you're a realtor, you gain access to cutting-edge tools and technology designed to streamline your business and maximize your profits. From our state-of-the-art marketing platform to our revolutionary virtual tours, Homati equips you with everything you need to stand out in today's competitive market. If you're a homeowner looking to sell or even a short-term rental owner, Homati will help you market your listing at the same level or even above that of realtors. The Homati platform is a game changer. It's intuitive, user-friendly, and will completely transform the way your home is marketed. Join the thousands of real estate agents and homeowners who have already made the switch to Homati. For more information on how Homati can help you, call Robert and Julia Swope at 303-502-3464 or find them at fixitradio.com. Homati, your key to real estate excellence.
All right, Ready Radio, KLZ 560. I had an email that came in really recapping everything I just said about the placement of the safe, the way a house burns, what even an adjuster and insurance folks would tell you on where to put that safe. So thank you, by the way. That was just a reassurance of the things that I had given out and that that's what some of these other quote-unquote experts say to do. It's just common sense to me. Put it on those outer walls. You'll be much better off when it's all said and done if you have the ability to do that. All right, how to avoid threats. This is really about situational awareness. Now, I'll try to go through this as quickly as I can. I got 20 minutes. I think I can get all of this in. And there's three keys. This was in the video, and I agree with these. Three keys to situational awareness. Perception, comprehension, and projection. So perception, of course, is we gather information. What are we seeing? What are we smelling? What are we feeling even? You know, sometimes you just get that gut feeling that, yeah, something's just not right here. And trust me, if you feel that way, don't ignore it. If something feels off, probably is. But, you know, gathering information. What looks out of place? When you walk into a restaurant or a, you know, convenience store or whatever, you know, does something not seem right? Does something look off? Do the expressions on certain people's faces look off? What's going on? Smell. Is something burning? Something on fire? You know, what's going on at that particular moment in time? Being aware of what's around you. I mean, I watch so many people, and this is one thing I do observe, especially on vacation, but watch so many people where they're just honestly flat out clueless of what's going on around them. I have the foggiest idea. You know, a bomb could drop next to them. They'd have no idea what's going on. And I mean that in all sincerity. They really have no situational awareness whatsoever. You know, a lot of us men, me, for example, I don't like sitting with my back to the door. I want to see the door. You know, if you're in an establishment, I want to see who's coming and going. Why? Because I want to see who's coming and going. Part of that situational awareness. So next is comprehension. Understand what you're seeing, smelling, feeling. Make sense of that data that you're now collecting. So, you know, our brains are like a supercomputer. Aren't like, they are. They are still years and years and years ahead of whatever even AI has come up with. You know, our brains literally are a supercomputer. They are doing so much at one time and keeping us alive as well. Your heart beats, your eyes blink, you hear, you smell, you see, you think, you reason, you can think back in history. You can look to the future. You can imagine things. I mean, God made us in such a wonderful way that our brains are just unbelievable. And most people don't use near enough of it. So comprehending that data in that supercomputer that's in our head, the data that we're collecting, what are you doing with that? Goes back to what I said a moment ago. If you're just going to run around clueless and not pay any attention to what's going around you, then you're not using much of your brain. On the same token, if you're paying attention to these things, you're monitoring, you're watching, you know, did, for example, you're at a ball game or the airport or wherever, and all of a sudden somebody leaves a bag someplace. Now, did they leave it intentionally or did they leave it purposely? What kind of person left it? Why did they leave it? And of course, we don't ever know what their intentions are, but those are the kinds of things to be paying attention to. You know, is there something that just feels off? I mean, I'm one of those people that, you know, even when you go to a ball game and you're standing in line and you're trying to go to the restroom or you're trying to get concessions or whatever, I'm looking around the entire time. I'm not just standing there. I'm not on my phone. I'm looking around. What's going on around me? To me, those are the most vulnerable places you can be. You know, things there could turn into pandemonium in a moment's notice. So what's going on? What's happening? And this is a part of this. It's a little bit further down in my notes, but you know, where's the exits? In a situation like that, where's your closest way out? Is it, you know, 2 steps away, 10 steps away? Is it across the hall? You know, if you're in a stadium, you know, how are you exiting? What's your game plan there? All of that. And they tell you in even some of the stadium guides to do that, but you should be doing that anyways. Lastly, of these three, perception, comprehension, and projection is use the data to know what to do next. What are you watching? What doesn't feel right? If you walk in someplace that just doesn't seem correct, are you leaving? Are you going to stay? Are you going to notify some authorities? You know, what is it you're going to do with the information that you've gathered? How are you projecting that, and what's your strategy next? So on the observation sides of things, observation skills, train your eyes. This is really important, by the way. I did like the part of this that this gentleman said. Train your eyes. Use your peripheral vision, which most people don't do. You know your environment. And then make this a habit at all times, noticing all of the details in every place you're at. You know, what are the colors of the rooms that you're in? What are the colors of some of the clothing people might be wearing around you? What looks out of place? And I know we live in a day and age now where there's so much variety. Sometimes it's really hard to tell if something is out of place, but that goes back to that whole gut feeling as to what's going on and does something just not feel right. And then this says, and I agree with it, make this a habit. Everywhere you go, do the exact same thing. I'll go through one more of these and we'll take our last break. Read people. Watch their body language. Are they avoiding eye contact? Are they stiff? Are they nervous? Practice active listening. In other words, what are people saying around you? And then also, as you're listening to these people and maybe even talking to someone, is there a change in their voice? Does their pitch change? Can you tell if they're lying? Are they being honest? One program that I've found very useful in this, by the way, which you can watch, I think in most cases, I think it's free. National Geographic does the, they've got a series on border protection, border security, airport security, all over the world. And it's interesting to listen to the security agents and who they're stopping versus who they're not. Now, sometimes they stop people because they've got a tip. Other times they're stopping people literally based upon body language. Hey, we're gonna pull this guy out of line because he won't look us in the eye. Or man, that guy looks really nervous. He's sweating. He's got sweat running off his brow. Or he's just fidgety. He looks nervous. So those are things that I've honestly learned a lot of by just watching that particular program, and you probably could as well. I've got a few more things to talk about along these lines as soon as we come back with situational awareness. Don't go anywhere. Ready Radio. It's ready-radio.com. KLZ 560.
You're driving down the road and out of nowhere comes a bang. A huge rock just hit your windshield and now you have a star in your windshield. Did you know that chip can be fixed? But who is the best? Who has the best resins that keep developing them to work with the newest windshields? That would be Novus Auto Glass. Novus, which is the Latin word for innovate, invented windshield repair in 1972, and it still leads the industry in cutting-edge technology, backed by more patents than any other repair and replacement company. While other glass repair services offer limited warranties, or worse, none at all, you can trust the original Novus pros to stand behind their work with a full refund that you can use towards a windshield replacement for the life of your windshield. Find a Novus location near you by going to any of our websites, ready-radio.com, drive-radio.com, or fixitradio.com. Just click on the Novus link. That's Novus Auto Glass.
If you're looking for great quality eye care, look no further than Stack Optical. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and for over 20 years, Alan Stack has been taking care of our optical needs. At Stack Optical, they handle all of your eyewear needs with glasses, prescription glasses, shooting glasses, sunglasses, contacts, eyeglass repairs, and yes, even eye exams. And those eye exams are only $69. And if you've been told you've got a complicated prescription, that's just one of the specialties at Stack Optical. At Stack Optical, they have their own on-site lab, and in most cases, you can have your new glasses in just 2 to 3 days. Stack Optical, 2233 South Monaco Parkway. Free and up-close parking. Call them today, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578, or visit stackoptical.com. And remember, at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
At Roof Savers Colorado, we are about more than roofs. We are about helping you make the best decisions with the right information. Being a homeowner isn't getting any easier or cheaper, and neither is getting your roof the solution it needs. Deductibles are going through the roof, and with every passing year, insurance covers less than the one before. Due to a record amount of hailstorms recently, insurance companies have started limiting your coverage and pulling out of states entirely. We know the industry. With over 3,000 roofs under our belts and 23 years of experience, Dave Hart and his team are ready to complete a free roof inspection and discuss the option that is best for you. Don't wait. Policy renewals are increasing by as much as 50%. Now is the time to get the solution you need. Call Roof Savers Colorado today at 303-710-6916 or go to roofsaversco.com. That's 303-710-6916. Or go to roofsaversco.com to schedule your free inspection and start saving your roof today.
Looking to buy or sell a classic car? Need a reliable valuation you can trust? Look no further than BP Appraisals, LLC. With over 20 years of experience in the appraisal industry, we provide fast, accurate, and professional appraisal services that you can count on. Did you know that an appraisal can also entail the forecasting of monetary earning power? An appraisal is a document with a valuation conclusion. It is not a pre-purchase inspection, a mechanical evaluation, or a recommendation to buy or sell your vehicle. It's the actual value at that moment in time, which many need for things like estate planning, insurance, or investing. At BP Appraisals, we value your property like it's our own. Make informed decisions with confidence. Don't settle for less. Choose the experts at BP Appraisals LLC, where precision meets professionalism. Visit us today at bpappraisalsllc.com and schedule your appraisals in just minutes. BP Appraisals LLC. We know what your property is worth. That's bpappraisalsllc.com or call 720-295-0108.
All right, we are back. Jim, what's going on, Jim?
Hey, not much. Have you ever heard of the Smith system?
The what?
Smith?
No.
You never heard of it? And you own vehicles? You
the
own
Sniff, like the Sniff vehicle? System. No, I've never heard of the Sniff system. What is
no,
it?
Smith. S-M-I-T-H.
Oh, S-M-I-T-H? Well, no.
Yeah. It's similar to this, what you're talking about, but companies use it for training drivers.
Got it.
And it's a situational awareness type of thing that teaches drivers how to be aware of potential dangers, potential things that could happen on the road when you're driving.
Got it.
I mean, it's almost exactly like the stuff like what you're talking about, and the one situational awareness type thing that I do, and I've always done it, and you were talking about you do it. You know, like whenever I'm in a restaurant or something, my wife and I, you know, I always have where I'm facing the door.
Right.
So I can observe everything coming through that door.
Correct.
You know, and if we're sat somewhere where I can't see the door, I still have myself facing where the entrance, where you come through, maybe an entrance. Or
yeah, I mean, ultimately back against the wall so you can see what's going on.
Right. And then the other smart thing is also when I'm in there, as I always observe the exits too.
Absolutely. Where is that closest exit? Might even be through the kitchen.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yep. Absolutely,
so,
Jim.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... Yeah, I mean, I like you talking about this. I mean, a lot of people need to really pay attention to this.
Oh, I agree.
It's really important.
Yeah, Jim, I can't believe how many people literally you just watch walk around there in a daze all the time.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to tell you something, John. I hate to say it, but my wife is that way.
Well.
We could be sitting in the living room, and I mean, she's just like, I don't know, staring at TV or staring at something. I don't know where she's daydreaming at, and it's like... It's like she just doesn't pay attention to anything that's going on around her at the time. And it's like, and sometimes I have to scream. It's like, wake up over there.
Well, I think we live in a day and age where we don't have a choice now.
Well, one would think.
I hate to say that, but that's where we're at now, Jim.
Well, the thing is, John, I think there's still a lot of people in this world, especially the Western civilization, that, they've been so accustomed to the security that they've always had, and they're not really paying attention to that security, or they've left too much of their security up to their government rather than taking
yep.
care of their own security.
Absolutely, 100%. Yes, you're correct
you know
on that.
So, yep. All right, John.
I appreciate it very much. And somebody messaged a moment ago and said that they have a particular situation where they have to wear sunglasses inside, and that is a potential red flag. And yes, it is. I understand that. I understand the sensitivity factor as well. But yeah, you're probably going to be picked out of the crowd a little more than somebody else would be in that case. Okay, reading people. Just talked about that a moment ago. Watching what they're doing and so on. Mental conditioning, staying focused under pressure. Always consider, and I like this because this is our terminology. Always consider the what ifs. Okay? Always consider the what ifs and be mentally rehearsing everything going on. Just like we were talking about with Jim a moment ago. Where are those exits? If something were to happen, what are you doing? Where are you going? Are you going to the floor? Are you going out through a window? Are you getting out the back door? You know, what are you doing to get out of a particular situation if something were to happen? Establish baselines. And what they mean by this is, do you live in the city? Is it always noisy? All of a sudden, is it totally quiet? Well, that's a problem. On the same token, you live out in a rural area. All of a sudden, the car drives by. You don't notice, or you kind of feel like somebody's casing your place out. Those are things you need to be paying attention to. Also, train with realistic scenarios. Know when you're being watched. I just talked about that a moment ago with somebody maybe driving by that shouldn't be, but also be looking at individuals, drones even. Do you see something, you know, kind of consistently flying around your place? And if that's the case, why? What's going on? What's happening there? And then lastly here, we're talking about the vehicle. I talk a lot about this on Drive Radio, of course, but always have it ready. Keep your bug out bag with you, all of your essentials in your vehicle. I could do an entire hour just on the vehicle end of things in May as we get into fall, because it's kind of a reminder what people need to be keeping in their vehicle at different times of the year. And this one was a great one because you guys know my feelings on this one. Back into parking places. Why? Because if you need to get out of a place quickly, it's always faster to pull out than it is to back out. Now, I have other reasons for that. It's easier to back in. You end up with more room. I typically drive larger vehicles, pickup trucks, etc. They're easier to actually get into a space backing in than it is pulling in forward. It's safer. You have less risk of running into somebody if you're pulling out than if you're backing out. Pedestrians, you have a lot less chance of running into or over a pedestrian when you're pulling out versus backing out. I mean, I can just go down the list of reasons as to why you want to pull out of a parking place versus back out of a parking place. But yet, we live in a society, back to Jim's point, where we're conditioned to pull into a parking place. I guess in my world, growing up in the auto world, car dealerships, where in car dealerships, everything is backed in. You rarely go to a car dealership where a car is pulled in frontwards because they want to display the car from the front, not from the rear. Cars always look better from the front than the rear, typically. So in a car dealership, all cars are backed in. So from a very early age of learning how to drive at, I'm not exaggerating, 12, 13 years of age, you learned how to back into parking places. And so in turn, I have done that my whole life, my whole driving career, I have backed in. Now, a lot of people criticize those of us that back in. They think we're weirdos, which maybe we are, but there is a method to the madness. And typically, at the end of the day, it's much safer. It's a much more conscious way to park than when you're pulling in. So food for thought. I put these links up. They're inside of our show notes. They'll be up on our website a little later. It's always inside of the podcast as well. And if you ever miss an episode, ready-radio.com, you can click there. You can actually find our previous podcast, the things that we've talked about over the past couple of years. And if you want to share something with friends and family, please do so. Guys, have a great rest of your day. Appreciate you very much. Ready-radio.com. This is Ready Radio, KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.